This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Michael, we got some rain at the Carver Center for Public Radio this week. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I don't think we got as much as you guys did, but yeah, we're definitely going to be wet and soggy for a while.
All right, let's talk about some strategy that the city of Fort Smith is coming up with that was published this week on talkbusiness.net. What more can you tell us?
Yeah, the Fort Smith Board of Directors met with city staff on a previous Friday, so April 23rd, to kind of talk about, you know, their to-do list, what they want to do, what they should be doing, just kind of a basic strategy session. The primary topic of discussion, though, was the federal consent decree, which the city's still under. By way of reminder, that was instituted back in late 2014 when both the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and the U.S. Department of Justice had pretty much had enough with the city not moving fast enough to repair its water and sewer infrastructure. And so they instituted a consent decree, which required the city to make, at the time, was an estimated $480 million worth of improvements over 12 years. Now, funding for a lot of that work has come from water and sewer rate increases. I think the water and sewer rates have gone up 167% since 2015. Obviously, it's been a pretty tough pill to swallow. And the city has applied for and received kind of an extension, received another 5 years. I think they were able to prove to the EPA and the Department of Justice that they've been doing quite a bit and that just the city couldn't afford to keep tapping residents. I think the city had showed a pretty good faith effort to those two federal groups that they've done quite a bit and they're doing more, but they just needed more time. So they got 5 years. The city is now in the process of trying to get some more time there. You know, during this process, they had the 2019 flood, the historic river flooding, which set back, you know, it's hard to work on water and sewer systems when,
right,
you know, half your town's flooded. Also, then the COVID-19 pandemic hit, which slowed a lot of the construction for obvious reasons. So they're seeking some relief there. But the board, I'm not going to call it frustration, but kind of wanted and provided the city with some pretty blunt directive that said, hey, you need to start communicating with us and with the public a little better about what you've done, how much money you've spent, how much more money you think you're going to spend. For example, City Director LaVon Morton said, you know, at the start of this, the city gave a forecast. He said, quote, we need to see how that forecast is now. How much have we accomplished? What did it cost? And then we need them to give another forecast. City Director Neil Martin asked, where are we in the process? Are we 25% done, 30%? There needs to be more communication on it. So that's going to be interesting to see how the city staff responds to provide that kind of information, because it has been, frankly, very nebulous when you talk to the city staff and the city engineers. You know, how much have you done? How much have you spent? Maybe in their defense, some of that is going to be unknown, because as I've had it explained to me before, that as they go in and replace some of these pipes and fix some of these systems, they find other things that are wrong, or they even find some things that are different in terms of what they thought they were going to have to do. So they have to adjust on that. So, but I expect here, hopefully in the next, I would think, unless the city directors don't follow up on their blunt request, I would expect the city to provide some more of that data here in the next few months. I guess kind of the other idea that kind of I thought was interesting is that City Director Kevin Settle suggested the city put together kind of a Vision 2030, which that sounds like a lot, but it really, when you think about it, it's not that many years out. So, you know, he was kind of wanting to plan how city leaders can best position Fort Smith economically in the next 9 years. And he talked about we need to look at kind of post-pandemic situations. You know, remote work is something we may have to think about. And his question was, how can we position Fort Smith so that it comes out ahead in that post-pandemic structure? He said something interesting too. He said, you know, manufacturing is coming back, but remote work is, and I remember thinking manufacturing, or I thought manufacturing is not coming back, and maybe that's something we follow up on, but it is not coming back. I mean, manufacturing jobs have continued to decline. They're down significantly from where they were this time last year, and certainly well below, almost 100% below where they were in at the peak in June 1999. So hopefully he's not depending on manufacturing to be part of an economic rebound, because it's not there. Maybe he misspoke. But so I guess the bottom line to come out of that strategy session is hopefully we'll get more transparency on the consent decree, and will the city kind of push for a economic plan that kind of looks at the post-pandemic economic realities.
All right. Good news. Fort Smith sales tax, March 2021, 1% higher than March 2020. Bad news, one of the leaner months in the past several. So what do we take away?
Well, we've been talking about, I've been talking about how long are we going to continue to see consumers spend, because through the pandemic, when we thought sales tax revenue would crater, it didn't. We were having 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% gains, monthly gains in sales tax revenue. So, this is down now. This does reflect February transactions. So last I checked, we had a little bit of bad weather back in February. I don't know how much that had to do with it.
Sure.
So we'll see if this is a one-time ding. But no, it was down, or the collections were only up 1.3% in March. That's of the city's share of the Sebastian County sales tax. It was just about $1.4 million. So far this year on that tax, the city's collected $4.84 million, which is still up 9.5% from the same time last year. So they're still doing good. And one of the reasons we track that sales tax closely, because it helps support the city's general fund budget. Most of that supports police, fire, and other essential city services. So it's interesting to watch. And in all of 2020, the tax generated $18.2 million, which was up almost 6% over 2019. And it was up almost 6% over the city's budget estimate. So they had a healthy return on it last year. From everything that I read in terms of consumer spending, economic growth, GDP expectations, I'll be very surprised if this March number becomes a trend. I think that consumer spending is going to continue to be strong through the year. Now, the question will be, as we've talked about before, are consumers going to begin spending that money on goods and services that do not factor into the local sales tax? Are they going to be buying airplane tickets and those kind of things? Because that's the fundamental shift we saw through 2020, is that consumer spending may have gone down, but it shifted back toward buying those things that provided a tax base to local cities and counties. So will that continue in 2021? To me, that's going to be the interesting question.
Well, and out there, you hear Dr. Jose Romero, Arkansas Secretary of Health, talk about the variants and the race to get more than 42 or 43% of Arkansans partially or fully vaccinated. And I don't know, you just wonder if, we're not out of this yet, and just what direction will the virus and take, and what effect might that have on what we do in the next few months?
That is a huge point, and that's a great point, because too many folks in Arkansas, and apparently too many folks around the country, think we're already out of the woods, we've already beat this, and nothing could be further from the truth. And if folks don't begin to step up and get vaccinated, hopefully this won't happen, but the virus doesn't care. The virus doesn't care. It's going to do what a virus does. It's going to mutate. It's going to keep doing what it can to stay alive. And if we think we've got it whipped, then as the Old Testament says, pride goeth before destruction.
There you go. All right. Reverend Michael Tilley is with us most Fridays. And we appreciate you being here, Michael.
Well, we'll pass the plate next week.